Well, we're going to have the reading from God's word to us now. And Jane is going to come and read. And Ephesians chapter 4, page numbers on their 1175 in the church Bibles.
As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Thank you, Jane. So the plan is I will speak now for about... yeah. We'll see. It's not going to be too long, don't worry. Or maybe you want it to be really long and you love preaching. First, I'll pray, though, because we need the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, in the abundance of words to come, please help us to grasp your words. And more, would your truth grasp us to alter our thinking, our emotions, our behavioural patterns, cause us to grow and be built up together, we ask. Amen. When you were at school, I wonder if you were someone who did their work slowly and carefully, or if you are someone who did their schoolwork quickly, like done it, that sort of thing. I'm pretty sure I won't be alone in remembering the teacher saying something like, okay, Ben, so you've finished, okay, now how can you improve your work? How can you make it better? A good start, now how can you build on it? Or maybe if you had your own room, were you someone who kept changing your room around? You know, moving stuff around to improve and kind of get the best layout in your room? Or were you somebody who, when asked to tidy your room, kind of chucked a few things around for a minute, done it, kind of thing? What of a church? What of a church that is content to exist on cruise control? What of a church that doesn't want to press on and grow? Well, God is an improver. God, if you like, is a presser onner. He is very interested in us growing and being built up. So he tells us through Paul that each part of the body is equipped for works of service so that the body may be built up until, chapter 4, verse 13, we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We might be content for our walk with Jesus and our growth as a church to be kind of meandering along to glory. But God isn't. Because he doesn't join his people to his son. He doesn't join us and then say, I've done it. They're joined, they're Christians. But his desire is that in Christ, joined to Christ, we grow and are built up in unity, knowledge to maturity. Now last week, we looked at 1 Corinthians 12 and Paul said, Christians, you are closer than you think. You are actually closer than you think. You're not simply a club. You're not a group that just kind of has a liking of Jesus in common. But you are a people who, having been baptized by one Spirit, are joined to the one body in Christ. You are family. That's what Paul says. Yeah, you're different from one another. And we are different from each other. But everyone is valued and everyone is called to assume their responsibility within the body. So two problems, if you remember, those who were here last week in Corinth, the two problems were some saying, I don't belong, and others saying, I don't need you. And the body in Corinth was being disfigured and damaged by individualism and worldliness. So to the I don't belong group, Paul says, you do belong. You absolutely do. The head has put you here. You have a part to play. To those saying, I don't need you, Paul says, well, you go sit down for a bit. You sit down. There's no one person who can do everything, no matter how godly they are, no matter how gifted they are. So to a church in Corinth that was divided, the question was not kind of, is that person a bit prominent in church? Am I too much in the background? The question is, am I in the place God has for me to fulfill the function that I should for him? The question isn't, what can church do for me? Me. But what can I do for the church? Because Christ calls each part of the body to assume their responsibility. Because the whole body functions effectively when each part discovers its function. We're all different, but we're all of equal concern. And we all need each other. And we are to suffer together, to rejoice together. We have received saving grace, but also serving grace. We are equipped all to give financially, to give time and resources in different ways for the glory of God, for the advance of the gospel of his Son, and for his church. We are to be built up. But then we think, well, being a family is close. Family sounds pretty intense, and family sounds a bit closer than some of us perhaps would like. It's easy to say, community, whoa! But actually, it's not that easy to live in community. There was a book called Liquid Love. I forgot to put the picture on, actually. It was the title of a book, and on the front cover is a picture of a heart drawn in the sand. And then the tide is coming in, and you just can tell the tide's going to come in and wash the heart away. And the tide coming in is to convey a love that is temporary. Because the truth is that while we might want relationships, we struggle with commitment. Some keep the church kind of at arm's length, at a kind of distance they feel comfortable. They kind of stay at the back of the bus, if you like, through fear of being too caught up in the lives of others. Some want to be close, but not too close. We want ties with one another, but we're only tied too tightly. But what we need is to be built up in Christ, which is what Ephesians 4 is all about. But having preached Ephesians 4 not so long ago, I'm going to take the opportunity this morning to look at spiritual growth, the building up of the body in a slightly different way, which I hope we'll find challenging and practical. At verse 16, from him, that is Christ, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What is the responsibility of each part? We'll just have a look at some of the responsibilities this morning. There are masses, but we're just going to look at some. It's to be part of the bodybuilding project. And to get bodybuilding, we firstly need to come to church. Come into church. Why do we come to church? And how do we come to church? I'm going to boing to Hebrews 10. You can boing with me if you like. I'm sorry, I'm being cheesy. It's page 1208. Feel free to follow along or just listen. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Page 1208. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Spur, meet, encourage. What is Sunday to you? How do you view it? Is Sunday day two of the weekend? Is it kind of a second Saturday or maybe a poor version of Saturday? Or is Sunday the Lord's day? The weekend is not actually a biblical thing. The Lord's day is biblical. And to keep Sunday special, though, as we know, has kind of actually become keep Sunday stressful, because it's become a second Saturday for most, doesn't it? Even for many Christians, it's been relegated to a day that fits around family life, parties, family gatherings, sport, and so on. Many reasons, but behind them all, really, is the failure to see that church is our family. Because until Christ comes, the Lord's Day is set apart for the glory of Christ and for the good of our souls. It's important. Christians should make coming to church a priority because we belong together. We belong together around God. God made us for this purpose. Now, think, why do families get together? Why do families get together? Well, hopefully we don't need to think about the answer to that, because we know, just know, families just get together because they do. They hang out together, don't they? They talk, they share joys and difficulties and food together. It's what families do. When we walk into church, what we're doing is walking into a family gathering. We belong like we would at a family gathering, only our bond is actually more profound than genetic. And in our spiritual family, we should have at least one person close enough to help us walk the walk, like in our lives. That's why we should stay for tea and coffee. Because it's not just Jesus and me, but it's Jesus in me and you as well. It's why, when appropriate in church, we sit in circles and we turn and we look and we talk to each other. Because that's what families do. It's easy to sit and stare at screens in our house, isn't it? It's easy to come and sit in church and just kind of look front and then leave at the end. But families turn and look and talk to one another, because they're being built up together. They belong. Come to church also because we need to be here. Listen to Sarah. Sarah said, I had some great sermon experiences. They really kind of scratched where I itched. I felt God speaking to me strongly, but being a pretty busy person, I only make church a couple of times a month. And that's kind of okay with me, because the sermons are mostly mediocre and they just kind of remind me of things I already know. Listen to James. James says, I don't know the Bible very well. Add to that, I forget most of what I hear. So I know I need to come week on week and be reminded. Sarah's problem is she looks to Sundays for a quick fix, if it feels good at the time. But James will be built up for all times. And yes, we love those Sundays, don't we, when we think, yes, that was just what I needed to hear. You know, feeling when you walk out of church thinking, oh yes, I would know why I was there this morning. Other Sundays you might think, I'm not so sure that was for me. But Christians are mostly built up through the regular, steady soaking in God's word. And whenever God speaks, it's what we need to hear. Perhaps not for today, but tomorrow hasn't come yet. So we need to start learning something today for tomorrow to come. We need to be here because the Christian race is long. Sin is a constant hindrance, isn't it? Slowing us down, tripping us up. We need to be here a bit like kind of alcoholics meeting with fellow strugglers to encourage and build one another up in their new goals and their new purpose. That's what a Christian has. We need to be here to keep walking the steady plod on the narrow way, the long race that we're in. We need to be here to bathe week by week in God's word. It's God's instrument, the church, to shape and mould our minds and our character. We need to be here for ourselves, but come to church also because others need you here. Spur one another on, read from Hebrews. Don't stay away, as some do, but encourage one another by being at church because that builds the body. Did you know that every time you come to church, it's a bit like wearing a t-shirt which says on the front, God is important to me, and you're important to me, and on the back, that's why I'm here. Church is not just about me. The experience I have, what I can get out of church, it's an opportunity to love and encourage my fellow brothers and sisters. This is what it is to be a body. This is what it is to be united and built up together. How many ministers do we have at this church? Well, you might say one. I might say two or three, Darren and John as well. Well, if we say one or two or three, we haven't got it. It's 80 or 100, however many Christians we have in this church, because we are all involved in building the body. Ministry of the few should actually be ministry of the pew, if you like. It's something we all do, one to another. But it's something we can't do if we're not here, when we stay away from church for no good reason. We can't love people. We can't talk to them. We can't encourage them, can we? All this hangs on our being present. So just being here, just coming to church, is one of the most encouraging and loving things you can do for the body. And coming to church begins at home. It begins, you before the Lord, maybe with your family or your spouse, with the resolve to be present every week. Missed Sundays can add up quickly, can't they? Sickness, holidays, family events, children's events, a tiring week, bad weather, work stress. But what often really stops us coming to church is our failure to grasp how important the ministry of turning up is. So unless there's an emergency, my plea for the body in this place here at Corbel Hall Road, my plea, well, it's God's plea to us, isn't it, from Hebrews, is that we move church from the kind of, into the non-negotiable category of our lives. Both services and the prayer meeting. That's what we signed up for when we became members. We promised to meet together when the church meets. Now, of course, some of us can't make all three meetings. That's not going to happen, is it? We can't. But if we can and don't, why don't we? And the question is, why wouldn't we want to make being amongst Christ's body a priority? Why isn't that a priority for us? That's really the question we've got to ask ourselves. So this feels like, it's starting to feel like an assembly where I'm telling people off. It's not meant to be a telling off. It's meant to be an encouragement. Is there something we haven't grasped about church, about Christ, about who we are in Christ, our identity with the body as well? Did Christ not die for us? Did he not give his life on the cross for us? Is it a waste of time to meet? Yeah, morning, maybe evening. That's a waste of time, the evening one. Is it? Prayer meeting. Will we regret it one day? If we go to the prayer meeting and miss whatever TV show we like? or whatever else we do Tuesdays. No, I'm going to go to the prayer meeting. One day will we say, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Or are we not now his servants? Are we not his worshippers? Are we not his people, bought with a price, growing for glory, seeking the kingdom first? That is what church is. Bodybuilding happens by us being with the body, and by the body reading God's word. So coming to church and reading God's word. Imagine for a moment I started yawning every time my wife began speaking to me. Would it help to say, but Nicola, I don't care about your words, I just care about you? That'd be ridiculous, because the way we treat someone's words reveals what we really think and feel about them, doesn't it? Approaching our Bibles is no less than an act of worship. Someone said the Bible is our burning bush, that Moses moment. Because until Jesus comes and splits the skies and faith becomes sight, we live now in the era of the ear. But while we wait the age of the eye, Augustine says we should treat our Bibles as the face of God. That's great, isn't it? It's not God, Spurgeon says, but it's God's voice. So I don't want to listen without awe, says Spurgeon. Now we should read our Bibles at home. But it's not just a solo sport, if you like. It's not, I've got Jesus here at home, me and Jesus, and church is kind of a bonus thing. Or it's not just Jesus is my main meal, and church is this nice little side dish. No, faith, our faith, your faith is a community project. And so our Bible reading is. Reading the Bible together is better. Because every time we read the Bible, we don't come to it as in neutral, do we? When we read the Bible, we read anything. We bring to it our experiences, our frameworks and so on, which limit us. Reading together helps us read rightly, though, doesn't it? To the Colossian church, Paul says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. It's a shame we don't have the US Deep South version, because a better reading of that verse is something like, let the word of Christ dwell in y'all richly. Because you in scripture is mostly plural. At our prayer meeting, we read the Bible together. We do a bit different to what we do now, because we read together and we ask some questions of each other, maybe the person next to you, and maybe as a whole group together. Why also not find a friend to read the Bible with in prayer triplets? Read the Bible together. Let me tell you about this little book. It's called Before You Open Your Bible, 9 Postures for Approaching God's Word. Additional bonus, it's really hard to lose because of the colour. Now, we know God's Word builds the body. The question is, are we listening? We know when we read the Bible, when we really read it, don't we? But it is difficult reading the Bible. Here's some really helpful postures, 9 of them. Be prayerful. So this is before we open our Bibles. Be prayerful. Be humble. Approach your Bible desperately. Be studious. Approach your Bible joyfully. Be expectant. Be together. Approach your Bible Christocentrically. Fancy way of saying the Bible is not about rules. It's not about us. It is for us, but its focus is way higher. It's about Jesus. The Bible centers around Christ, doesn't it? Not primarily a book about us at all. It's about God and his Son. And we often rush in, I speak for myself, we rush into the Bible kind of expecting kind of the pages to magically microwave our cold hearts. Do we really read? Do we really read? This book is a great help. You can borrow it. You can buy it for yourself. It's very cheap. I'll help you where. Come and see me after if you'd like to know. The body is built when we come to church. The body is built when we read God's word together. And the body is built when we listen to God's word together. A healthy, growing church is one that is committed to hearing God's word preached. I think, well, why? Because God's people have always been created by God's words. Genesis 1, God spoke. us into being, didn't he? Genesis 12, God called Abraham. With words, God brought the dry bones to life, Ezekiel 37, and did not the living word pitch his tent amongst us, John chapter 1. God works by his words. He always has. And today, faith comes through hearing. It's hearing the gospel. And God is pleased through the foolishness of what is preached to save those who believe. So expository preaching is what we have in this church. And that simply means preaching that exposes God's word. A preaching which explains the passage and applies its meaning to the hearers. Ironically, that is not what I'm doing this morning. I am not expository preaching this morning. I've chosen for this series to take a topic. So I've not preached Ephesians 4 this morning. I've taken being built up and gone all over the place. I'm happy to do this once in a while. It's okay. But a church's regular diet should be the faithful explanation and application of whole books of the Bible. Regularly rotating Old and New Testaments, different genres as well. Think of a careful mother serving her children food from every food group, not two or three of their favourite. And we should listen together. We should listen to God's word preached together. By all means, listen to others online, but let me recommend not making online listening your main diet of listening to preaching. Why? Because they don't know you. And because pressing pause is easy. Because doing other stuff is easy. Listen in church to one who knows you, where you can't press stop, where you're less likely to be distracted, because there's people next to you and they'll notice. Where others also, mainly, where others know you've heard it. And where you know others have heard it as well. And so we know one another's heard this God's word together, and we can be shaped together, we can obey together, we can be accountable to one another for our response. In short, we are built up together. Adam was someone who found sermons really difficult. He liked music, especially when a certain person was leading, but he mostly found sermons pretty long and boring. Beth, on the other hand, genuinely couldn't wait for Sundays. She genuinely thought, I'm going to church, I'm going to hear what God says to me. And she couldn't wait. Let me encourage you to make listening to preaching a priority. Because the preacher who preaches accurately and prayerfully speaks with God's authority. Their voice is not God's voice, of course, but they have a borrowed authority when they speak God's word faithfully. That's what preaching is happening when they preach. I implore you to prepare yourself for preaching. Read the passage beforehand if you know it. Pray for the preacher. Pray for yourself. Pray that you will hear with your whole heart. Come to church fresh, not exhausted, if possible. Some of us just can't sleep. Some of us just struggle. We're getting older and so on. But if you can, come to church fresh, ready to listen. Intentionally say to yourself before the sermon, this is God's word. I am going to hear God's word. I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen together. When it comes to aspirations for our growth, it's not God who's lacking. He wants us to be filled with the fullness of Christ. Whatever that means. But it sounds pretty amazing, doesn't it? His plans for his church are huge. Ours are actually really small. We really don't have great aspirations for ourselves. We're so content, aren't we, to just cruise. We kind of have a beach hut. But God would have us build a vast, glorious palace, enriched to the fullness of Christ. We'd stay on rice cakes and milk and baby food. Jesus would have us feeding on hearty dinners that really feed us. Because his plan for his church, his plan for his body is that we are built up to maturity. Amen.